Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. The Ontario government recently released a plan aimed at helping farmers. There are a host of issues challenging all those who put food on our table. The changes are aimed at the food supply chain. That is the path from farm to fork. It looks at what can be done to deal with everything from labor shortages to the use of advanced technology. It also wants to expand the number of Ontario food processors. Believe it or not, a lot of our food gets shipped out of the province or to the United States. Then, it gets turned into the food we eat and shipped back to Ontario. Alan Carruthers, president of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture, will shed some light on the government's plans, plus bring us up to date on the Federation's activities. Here is that interview. I'm so pleased to have with me today, Alan Carruthers, president of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Robert.
The Ontario government recently announced a plan to strengthen the food supply chain. Can you tell us how this is impacting farmers in Northumberland?
Well, I know, Robert, this is one thing. The announcement came out on November 28th. As a member of the Federation of Agriculture, the OFA has not had very much time to look at the program. I know there's some things and stuff in this program that have been asked over the years. You know, put agriculture in the classroom. You know, our local supply of food. You know, a lot of thoughts on local supply of food and stuff like this make a lot of sense to a lot of people developing Ontario food, you know, when it comes to grow local, support local. You know, you take into some of the comments that the federal government is saying that, you know, carbon, the cost of carbon. So, you know, it makes more sense to grow our local food in the province of Ontario or local municipalities like here in Northumberland County, when we don't have to spend a lot on fuel and have to pay the extra carbon tax.
So let's unpack a little bit of that, because I think you've said some things that are really important. When we talk about the food supply chain, can you give us a basic understanding of what that supply chain is and how that works from a farmer's perspective?
So every year, you know, farmers, you know, whether you're a cash crop farmer that farms outside the elements, or a greenhouse farmer who has everything under glass or under plastic, you know, we've taken an ambitious program on that we're going to produce food, whether it be meat, you know, grains, vegetables, potatoes, these kind of things. We have to source our fertilizer, our inputs and stuff. We have to source our seed to grow this product. And then, you know, we start planting this crop. If it's outside, we're prepping our machinery and stuff to get the seed properly planted. And we hope that Mother Nature will provide some important elements like rain and heat, and then we also supply our fertilizer, you know, to grow these crops in a greenhouse, kind of the same way, but a lot of stuff is grown, you know, very intensified and under the plastic and glass. So as our food is produced and stuff, we're looking at good quality food. We don't want to have disease or insects and stuff that will make our crop very unpalatable, I guess, might, or unsightly. Nobody likes to have great big huge holes in stuff when it goes to the supermarket. So our once our harvest is complete, you know, we usually try to source a market, and we've probably sourced that market before the crop has come to harvest, and it is either consumed locally or it's shipped off for export to, you know, other countries. So, you know, as our society ages, and I don't want to ramble here too much, but we've seen quite a change in the last 40, 50, 60 years with agriculture, because a lot of people have left the family farm and they've gone on to, you know, pick up trade, you know, in the cities and towns away. And the farmers have been taking on more and more food production. Because, you know, you look back to our parents or our grandparents' time and stuff, there were a lot more people that had a small farm and they grew their own food and they were able to put that food in either cold storage or ice boxes and stuff like this to preserve it for all winter. And as things have progressed, a lot of people have moved away from the farm and we've got our own refrigeration, we've got our own large warehouses and stuff to store our food. But
what we're really talking about, I guess, in terms of food supply chain is
yep.
You know, you talked about the inputs, the fertilizer, the seed that comes to you, you know, whatever, all those things that come to the farmer, and then you guys produce the food, and then it sort of goes upstream to either local markets or to processors who then, you know, take a pig and turn it into ham and bacon, right? Or,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. So that's the thing that we're talking, I guess, when we talk about food supply chain. So then when it comes to vulnerabilities within that supply chain, where do you see the soft spots? Where are the weak links in that need to be addressed?
Some of the marketing, some of the transportation. I know that this fall, a lot of crop farmers have had frustrations with delivering their crop to a port. You know, we had the big snowstorm that happened in the Niagara Peninsula area there around the 17th, 18th, and 19th of November, and that shut down a lot of accessible transportation to get our market, you know, or get our crop delivered to that port. You know, we've had weather events and stuff, that in the past that have impeded things. Some of those weather events are very manageable. Some of the other things that are hard to justify, but are harder to get by is the transportation costs. So we've seen an increase in fuel production, or sorry, fuel consumption prices that we have to use to put in our harvesters, our tractors, our trucks. Excuse me. So those things are there. Some of the markets and stuff, I know that big business, they try to source cheap food. And Ontario, and this is kind of a hard thing to explain, Robert, but big business wants to have a cheap, reliable source on food. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency it has some pretty good, healthy requirements and stuff for growing Ontario and Canadian food. And the Ontario farmers, Canadian farmers, are really, we embrace those at regulations because we want to have safe, reliable food and stuff grown in Ontario and in Canada. I know big business wants to pull stuff from the Europe, Asia, you know, United States, and we do need to have those markets to be able to buy other markets or trade in other markets and stuff, you know, to keep business going across the country. So those are some of the things and stuff, that are the challenges for the Ontario farmer.
What are the things that the government has identified are labor shortages?
Yes.
Talk to me about what farmers in Northumberland experience when it comes to labor shortages.
That's a hard question because a lot of people say, where have these people all gone? You know, and I know that there's always seems to be a labor shortage and stuff in the springtime because the farmers get things all prepared and ready to go when we're up at the crack of dawn, and we get going. We work hard. A lot of farmers have family members, or they've hired even offshore labor and stuff to help, because they find that offshore labor is a little bit more reliable to source and to get their crop planted, maintained, and then harvested. I think since the start of COVID, you know, in 2019-2020, a lot of people have the paranoia, or the lack of wanting to have close contact with some of our workers. With, you know, in the food industry, 9 times out of 10, we're working shoulder to shoulder with somebody else to sort through our produce. So I know the provincial government is trying to entice more people to the province. I know the Canadian government is wanting to have a pretty healthy immigration policy put in place. They want to have 500,000 people come to Canada every year, and of course that's a very double-edged sword and stuff when it comes to where are these people going to work, where are these people going to live. So the labor shortage, it just seems to be getting more and more harder to get our employees, or getting people to work for us.
Another thing that the Ontario government identifies is what they call declining process capacity. Can you talk to us about that aspect and our ability to process Ontario grown or Ontario raised food in Ontario?
Well, I think that the declining process part, a lot of businesses that process food have left the country. You know, some of the processing, like I look in consideration, like sugar beets in southwestern Ontario, there was a very strong processing group and stuff in Lambton, Essex, Kent area for producing sugar beets, and their source more or less dried up, closed up business, and went across the border. They've been able to bring it back, but not the way it was 20 years ago. A lot of processing companies, you know, they find that, processing some of the Ontario food, it's been cheaper to grow it in southern United States, closer to a more temperate climate, closer to more affordable labor, you know, i.e. Mexico or even heading down into South America. So we've lost a lot of processing in our area. And of course, there was a company in Trenton years ago that processed peas and sweet corn, and that's gone. That's gone. So
let's talk a little bit more about that, because I understand even there's example. For example, hogs sometimes get sent to the United States to be processed and then shipped back to Canada. Yep. To be sold. Is that still a case?
Yes, it is. Like there's some of the meat processors and stuff have found that the tax implications of running their business in Ontario have been quite expensive, and it was cheaper to move to the States or move to Quebec. Like I know a lot of Ontario hogs they get sourced to either Manitoba or this, you know, upper United States, you know, New York, Michigan, and or they get sold in Quebec. So, you know, our meat that we grow for consumption in Ontario, a lot of it is processed out of the province.
So is it important then that we do have processing capabilities like this in Ontario?
Yes. And you know, the frustrating part of it is, provincial government, federal government, there's a lot of taxes that are put on things. The cost of labor goes up. The cost of, you know, the cost of running business goes up with, you know, fuel and energy. You know, and a lot of companies they look at the United States stores and say, oh, you know, fuel's cheaper, labor's cheaper, you know, there's more processing capabilities there.
I'd like to shift gears a little bit, and I'd like to talk about what's going on locally. So how was the crop this year, and did everybody meet their targets? Can you sort of give us an overview of how this year's crops did?
I think the crops this year were pretty good. We had some very decent yields for winter wheat, for the growing of soybeans for grains and oil seeds. Soybeans were a decent crop. Most of the corn is just about harvested in the province. Probably 5% of the crop is left out to harvest. And of course, part of that has been because it's been harder to get to transportation or to export. The forage crops like the hay and the alfalfa and stuff, I think it was a good crop this year for most livestock producers. We did have some hot, dry weather and stuff. It affected certain parts of the province, certain parts of Northumberland County, of course. You know, if you have soils that are a little bit more high in gravel or sand and stuff like this capabilities, they didn't fare as well for yields. But you know, we had some timely rains across the county. I think our crop average is pretty close to what it was last year, maybe a little bit less than last year. But I think most farmers, not all farmers, but most farmers are happy with their yields.
When I was talking to farmers back in the spring, one of the big issues due to the war in Ukraine was fertilizer, because they produce a great deal. Can you tell us, or update us at least, on that situation and how it's unfolded?
So the Canadian government put a 35% tariff on bringing Russian fertilizer, because we get a lot of our fertilizer from Russia, especially nitrogen sources. And in the federal government's infinite wisdom, thinking that they wanted to punish the Russian government by putting a 35% tariff on fertilizer, it inadvertently put a penalization on us, on the Ontario and Canadian farmer, of a 35% increase in fertilizer. So we were faced with a lot higher price of fertilizer this year, and it frustrated us because the fertilizer suppliers and stuff couldn't even tell us exactly where the price of fertilizer was going to go until it was delivered. And the fertilizer industry is still trying to get that 35% tariff back from the federal government. We feel that's a very unfavorable disadvantage to Canadian farmers. And in, of all the G7 and G20 countries, Canada was the only one that did this. So we're blaming our federal government this. So it was very frustrating, and it still is frustrating because the cost of fertilizer is so much higher.
Everybody is feeling the impact of inflation. And you've alluded to it earlier when you were talking about fuel prices and the additional costs of putting gas in a tractor and your equipment, et cetera. How else has inflation impacted farmers in Northumberland?
We find it very hard to plan a budget on growing our crop and marketing our crop. And if we don't know what our fuel prices are going to be when it comes to harvest, it's very frustrating. And I'm going to take an example of my fuel bill that I get diesel fuel supplied from a supplier down to the east of us. And we were able to lock in some prices in the last couple of years, lower prices for diesel fuel. And then those companies did away with those lock-ins, and we had to take the price of what was there. So, and I have to, I'm going to be very, very upfront. My fuel cost, when I got a bill in early September, was $1.32 a liter for diesel fuel. And as we watched the fuel prices at pump climb, we saw that price climb even when we got the fuel price and stuff. And I'm going to say in a period of about 6 weeks, fuel prices went up 65 cents, you know, to the farmer. So I've never paid that high a price for diesel fuel ever. And it is a challenge, and it's a challenge for everybody in the province, you know, and the federal government and the world exports stuff of fuel have it's been a challenge and stuff to get affordable fuels for everybody.
Another factor that has played on the economy has been high interest rates. How have those impacted farmers in Northumberland?
Kind of the same way as fuel. Like we get a little nervous when we see increase in interest rates. You know, like I was around and got my first loans and stuff in the early 80s when interest rates went to 22%. Mortgages back there was a lot of mortgages in that 17, 18, 19, 20% range. Now a lot of people say, well, that's really high. Now it's like 6.5, 7, 8%. When you have borrowing capacity, and you know, we look at a couple of years ago when interest rates were very, very low at 3%, 3.5%, you know, those prices have almost doubled, almost tripled in that last couple of years. Back in 1979 and 80, it was like 15, 16, and then it went to 22%. It didn't double. It went to, you know, it increased by 35-40%. But it, you know, it. I look at it today, our interest rates have more than doubled. So not like the 80s, but it is still fairly critical because it was kind of hard to make a 20% profit just to cover your financial obligations to the bank or mortgage companies back then. So
we've talked about a lot of challenges. I'd like to talk for a moment about some of the successes. What over the last year has been some of the high points for the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture?
Northumberland Federation of Agriculture, we did a barbecue for migrant workers, you know, and it was a very quickly put on event and stuff. We were able to pull migrant workers, you know, from various farms in the county. It was received. I believe we had over 80 people that were at the barbecue. There were some farms and stuff that were missed. We feel a little sorry that we didn't get to everybody, but it's kind of hard to get to everybody. The Federation of Agriculture also did a municipal politician tour back in August before the municipal elections went on, and we had our federal member on the tour. We had a lot of potential municipal politicians on, so we got to tour the new TCO AgriMart fertilizer plant in Colburn, and then we got to see some of the technological advances at the Burnham Family Farms there between Coburg and Port Hope, and then we were able to go to organic beef farm run by Ian and Marlena Stolthorpe and stuff there west of Port Hope, and we talked about rotational grazing for his beef cattle. So, you know, the Federation of Agriculture has always been trying to educate our politicians, our public. You know, we want to be able to empower some of the people and stuff to make our lives a little bit more understandable, I guess. And I know Northumberland Federation of Agriculture has been able to pat ourselves in the back over that for the last 10, 15 years. So
what's on the horizon for the Federation in 2023?
I guess you got to bring your problems. Bring some of your problems to us. I think probably energy is going to be a problem. Education of growing clean, affordable food is going to be one of the things. I think that you alluded to the employment problems. I think that there's going to be more issues with that, and I know that we always try to evolve, you know, and try to work on our problems and stuff that are coming. One of the biggest concerns and stuff I think Northumberland Ag and I think Ontario Ag has is the new new bill 23 the province of Ontario has put out. And there's a lot of things that may cause an awful lot of grief and cause a lot of money, or consume an awful lot of money for the farmer and the Ontario communities. So
Alan Crothers, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Robert.
That was Alan Crothers, president of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.